Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to my beauty industry enthusiasts, content creators, and brand visionaries. Get ready to step into a world where beauty meets business, where the creator economy blends seamlessly with strategy. I'm Sonia Elise, and this is Lip Service, the podcast. We're about to redefine the way that you think about the beauty industry. From the boardroom to the makeup room, we're leaving no stone unturned. Lip Service is your backstage pass to the beauty industry's best kept secrets. Now take out your notebook, fill up your emotional support water bottle, and swipe on your favorite lip gloss. Let's get into the episode. We are here today with one of my favorite people on the internet and, of course, favorite beauty people, Michelle from Mature Makeup Master Class. Welcome, Michelle. Thank you for coming back.
Thanks for having me, Sonia. We had so much fun the last time.
I know. That's why I knew we had to do an episode 2. So if you didn't listen to the first episode, please head back, listen to the first episode, because I'm going to skip over the general bio info with Michelle because we know her, we love her. So head to that episode first and then get your butt back here and listen to the second episode. But before we dive in on all of the good updates, I would love to know, first and foremost, what's on your face today, Michelle?
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked. I'm wearing all Mob Beauty, and I know, and here's an exclusive just for your audience. We are launching, I probably don't have it here. We are launching a brand new palette never used before with Mob Beauty. It's like double this size, and cool. It's going to be like kind of a quick 5-minute French face, but in like a compact little sustainable packaging. And so I'm trying it out today to test the colors. And I think this is what we nailed. So yeah, I'm wearing all Mob Beauty. Thanks for asking.
Of course. And I love that lip. Is that theirs as well? The bright pink.
It is. And it's their M67 soft matte. So it's kind of like a true classic blue red, but I put it on more smudgy. And so it takes on more of a rosy pink tone, but it's really just a classic blue red.
Love that. Fantastic. Okay. And then question number 2 is, you know that you're going to die tomorrow. You're going down into the grave. What are you taking with you? You get one product.
Oh, one product for eternity?
One product for eternity. What will it be?
Well, if I'm dead, I don't have to be cute, right?
You don't have to be, but you can choose to be.
Okay, well, I think I would probably take a lip balm. Like, I'm always putting on lip balm, and I'm in love with this Trish McElvoy one. It's like a lip serum balm, and it's clear. And so I'm imagining if I'm, like, crusty, I would need this.
I like it. Fantastic answer. Okay, and the very last thing we need to know is, what is inspiring you right now? Doesn't have to be makeup or beauty related, just generally.
That's such a great question, because I was just telling someone the other day, I've been doing makeup 30 years and I'm actually quite bored. And so I'm always really drawn to Donnie Davy from Half Magic, because if I can glue if I can glue studs, crystals, glitter, like, she speaks to me. I love Half Magic, but also I'm getting back into airbrush. I've always used airbrush for like tattoo cover or special effects, and I'm going to try to really learn it for beauty. And so to me, that's exciting because it's a new learning curve.
Wonderful. Let's get into the episode, because I'm so excited to hear about all of your updates. So, Michelle, I interviewed you, the royal we, about, I want to say, like 5 months ago, believe it or not. And when we last let off, you felt like the Gen X community, the 50 plus, the area that you specialize in, was really not seeing enough attention. Now we're kind of we're rounding the corner on the end of Q1. Have you seen any shifts? Are you hopeful? What is your like state of the union right now?
I don't know how to be anything other than 100% honest. I'm not hopeful. I'm seeing less campaigns than in 2023, and 2023 was down from 2022. And what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is that brands are seeing bigger return on investment by giving larger sums to the large influencers, the large content creators, like your Merediths, your Michaela's.
Sure.
I'm going to say I don't, even Erica Taylor, who we all love and she's, you know, over 40, she's not even getting the attention that the young content creators get. Like she should have far more attention for over a million followers. And so I'm not real hopeful. I don't know what's happening with brands and my demographic, but they tend to do more campaigns with me for skincare, which I understand, but I'm a makeup artist. I'm a makeup artist and skincare is important, but like, I want to play, I want to show women how to have fun. And we're just not seeing the money there.
Got it. And do you think that there is a world where you understand that actually makeup is one of the hardest categories to get a deal in? Because I actually hear that feedback across all age groups of creators is that makeup, it's so hard to get on the radar, so difficult to land a campaign, but skincare does come a lot more easily. Do you think that's an overarching industry like standard, or you think it's specific?
I think it's been standard. And I think that what I'm hearing through the grapevine is we're going to start seeing makeup make a comeback. You know, hair's kind of having a moment and nails are having a moment and skincare is just standard. We need it every day, all ages. But I'm hearing through the grapevine, we're going to start seeing more makeup campaigns. I just haven't seen that myself. And I have been approached by different brands, big brands, and it just fizzles out and I get ghosted.
Bummer. We hate to hear that.
I don't, you know, I don't take it personally anymore though. I really don't. I think this is a new, this is a new year for me. I have a different mindset and, it just is what it is. And I have to just keep swimming, as Indori says, right? Just keep swimming, just keep swimming.
Very true. I think that's a great place to spend a beat on. What do you feel like your current mindset is that you would maybe want other people to join you there?
I don't, not to take it personally, it all comes down to money and return on investment. And, you know, our demographic is large and it has deep pockets, but we're also more jaded. We're not going to buy the magic pill. And, so I would say that for my demographic, for younger people, I would say your mindset set has to be show this up and do this for free as if you were getting paid, because it's our passion should drive us. And then hopefully someone eventually takes note of us and starts, you know, investing in our audience and our expertise.
Yeah, that's so well said. I constantly find that I am shocked by new creators and their complaints towards, I'm not getting gifted enough, I'm not getting enough attention. And I understand it can be frustrating, but I think the reality check that you have to actually love it if you want to have a full career in it. And that means loving it and showing up and thinking that no one will ever pay you. No one will ever pay you, because that could be a reality in some people's journey. They may never get on the map. And that's not to discourage people. That's to remind them that you have to actually love showing up and doing what you're doing. And that passion will come through. And those are always the creators that I find grow the fastest, that they never expected to grow at all.
Yeah. I mean, I did this for 7 years. 7 years, never missed a day of posting for 7 years before the whole TikTok phenomenon and COVID. So you do have to be consistent and patient and do it every day because you love it. And you, someone asked me the other day on Instagram, they said, I'm really frustrated. I'm not getting any attention from the algorithm. And I said, they're like, do you have any advice? I said, your why has to be bigger than you. So I show up every day because mature women feel ignored and I want them to feel cute close up, right? That's my tagline, look good close up. I want them to feel cute every day. And so I show up for them every single day. It's not about me.
Yep. That's, I mean, that's incredible advice for every creator, every age, every stage. There's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. Those evolve over the years, but you have to have a personal burning to continue to show up outside of that. 100%. Yeah. And what are you seeing in terms of platform growth? I know last time you said you were really focused on YouTube. TikTok was taking a backseat. Instagram was a maybe. I know I've seen you say other things as updates, but tell us, what are you seeing in terms of growth?
Okay. So since you and I last got together around October, November, wow, Instagram has exploded. So I did a reel. It was a TikTok that got almost no attention. I converted it to a reel. I always take the watermark off, converted it to a reel. It got over 1 million views. And then a couple weeks later, I did another one that got maybe close to 1 million views. And all of a sudden, Instagram knows my audience. And so I went from, I think the last time you and I did a interview, it was, I was at about 43,000 on Instagram. I am now at 115,000 on Instagram, total organic growth. I never pay for anything.
That's crazy.
Reels.
We're so proud of you.
I take no credit. It's,
it was
all
still
gone.
Your talent.
It's all timing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so then, I was going to say also my YouTube exploded in January because we're all broke as a joke. And so I decided to devote all of January to bougie on a budget, just doing drugstore makeup. And my views almost doubled. Women want drugstore. And it was my highest YouTube paycheck. This month is also looking good because February was a great month. And so I'm concentrating on Instagram, YouTube, and then I'll have fun on TikTok, but TikTok just doesn't love me anymore. So it's not my priority.
Got it. I mean, that makes sense. And I love that you've had this shift because I think that's something that people have to keep in mind. They're so tight to what they believe is going to perform for them that they're not even trying other things. And I personally had to bully several of my mentorship clients recently to get onto Instagram. I was like, you need to be on it. You need multiple platforms. End of story. I'm not taking any excuses, at least two. So it's a different beast, but like you said, there's still opportunity there. It is not dead. And did you find that you use the exact same video? You added trending sound, you edited a little bit. What's sort of your process right now of either filming new for Instagram or taking old? How are you looking at things?
I'll do a couple of fun little things on Instagram Reels that is organic to Instagram. But the stuff that really goes viral is stuff I made for TikTok. It didn't do great. So I moved it over to Reels, took off the watermark, and it did really well. And usually that is a special mature tip for mature women.
You talking to camera.
Yeah, me talking to camera, no music, no sounds. I love funny trends, and I just don't see them on TikTok anymore. I'm always trying to change my feed. I'm always trying to – my daughter's Gen Z, so we're always looking for funny trends. But funny trends for her generation, my generation goes, I don't get it. You know, and so, you know, she and I will crack up, but my generation doesn't get it. And so I really miss trends. And I don't mean like the next makeup trend. I mean, I miss funny trends on TikTok. It's just not a funny place anymore.
What a bummer. And what is your posting schedule like? Let people in on like what your week looks like. How many times a day are you posting? How often do you record? What does the schedule look like right now?
That's a great question. I pretty much film 6 or 7 days a week. I just recently started taking Sundays off because if I don't, I'm going to end up in the hospital. So Sundays, I'm off social media on Sundays. I don't email. I literally, that's my family day and my rest day. So I was doing 3 YouTubes a week and it got too much, but you can always see a YouTube from me every single Saturday, a YouTube every single Wednesday. And sometimes I'll do a Monday beauty review and those have been growing in popularity. And that takes a lot of time because I do all the editing myself, all the uploading, and then I'll do TikToks with PR that I get. So I'm kind of enjoying a complexion series right now, like pretty products for mature skin complexion. So I'm kind of concentrating on that on TikTok right now. And then every once in a while, I'll get a wild hair to, you know, do a funky eye or glue some jewels on. And it's ironically, Instagram's kind of low on the priority list, even though they've shown me the most love, but I can just always convert something over to repurpose on Instagram Reels.
Okay. And that's coming from the YouTube.
I do really well too with photos on Instagram, but I also do well with the shifting photos, the slide photos on TikTok.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Like a photo reel. Yeah. I do really well with those photo videos. Yeah. The
carousel videos.
There you go.
Or carousels on Instagram. I don't know, image reel on TikTok. I'm not sure what they call it on TikTok.
I don't even know.
Images.
Yeah, I'm literally filming 6 days a week. And this coming Saturday, I think I'm doing a TikTok live with my friend Leah from Maxine's Revenge. So I try to fit in a TikTok live now and again because I love to be live.
Oh, good. Yeah, I definitely think TikTok live is a place where people can grow. I have been seeing a lot of people really enjoy, if anything, engagement-wise, it may not be new followers, but increasing engagement, huge there in terms of being able to have a two-way conversation, which is not a possibility on TikTok, which is, I think, what hurts TikTok in the end. Not a lot of two-way conversations happening over there. Instagram, much more open to a two-way conversation. How do you see your audience response differ across the platform? So let's say your budget-friendly series, which I love and I think is very in tune. I love a series. Across the platforms, it performed best on YouTube, or you find that it performs well across all categories?
It does well on all categories. And if I do something bougie on TikTok, if I do a Tom Ford concealer, if I do an expensive tinted moisturizer, there's always a handful of comments that say, is there a drugstore dupe? And sometimes you just have to be honest and say no.
No.
There's no dupe for Tom Ford. I'm sorry.
That's so true. He would probably say the same.
Yeah. And I really hate the word dupe, and I don't use the word dupe. But yeah, I feel like the drugstore is doing well on every single platform because women are tight right now. Budgets are tight. It's hard to pay for gas and groceries, and even my demographic is seeing the pinch.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually saying dupe is a TikTok violation these days. So, take notes on that one, creators. Start using your synonyms. Feels like this, smells like this, could be compared to this potentially. But be very careful using the word dupe. That's straight to jail.
I know, it's straight to jail. And I think it's been misused. A dupe means that in a blind study, they literally look and feel the same. And I see so many dupes on TikTok, and I'm like, oh, it's not even close. It's not even close to being the same. Let's stop pretending just for clickbait.
Yeah, I wish. If only.
If only.
So looking into your future right now, or currently what you're working on, where are you finding is the best place to put your energy for monetization? Is it affiliate links? Is it, I mean, we already talked that paid partnerships are slow, but, is it just straight up viewer, pay? So like on your YouTube channel, you get paid per view when you hit a certain threshold. Where are you putting your focus right now?
Wow. This is such a timely question because yesterday I found myself on Facebook, and I'm seeing a lot of great mature content over there. I'm seeing a lot of big people like Erin Parsons, and she's, converting her TikTok, converts it to Instagram, converts it to Facebook. And I'm like, I'm not doing enough on Facebook. So I went down that rabbit hole, and then I start getting like overwhelmed because I'm like, how can I put one more thing on my plate? Right. So anytime I get confused, I always remember that like God is not the author of confusion. And why am I getting confused? And I felt like him saying, stick to what you know. And that was YouTube. YouTube is where I have the tightest community. I saw growth in January, February. And so I'm really focusing on nurturing that community, growing that community, giving them really good content. And then TikTok and Instagram will get the leftovers.
I do well
on affiliate links. I really do. And I get paid well with views. I don't get paid for views on TikTok. I never entered any of the beta program. I've never entered any of that. I get paid zero views on TikTok. But I also sell a product on YouTube, and it probably pays for 80% of my, it's 80% of my income. And so that's really how I make my money. And so that's my main job. And then everything else is just icing.
Yeah. Love it. That's fantastic. And what about like your product collabs, like this collab that you have with Mob Beauty? This is your second iteration, or how many? Tell us more about what it's like. Actually, let's back up and start from the beginning, because many people listening are probably like, how do I get a brand collab like this, product collab, right? So we have brand collab, which means that you are creating content for a brand based off a product they own. And then you have product collab, which means you are in with the brand, developing the product together side by side, co-branded, sometimes with your name on it, sometimes without. But I know Michelle was part of the development of this product. I saw her in the lab doing the things. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what is that journey like? Where did it start? Where are you now?
You know, it's funny. You just have to always be open to open doors, right? I remember when they announced in 2020 that Mob Beauty was going to be started, and it was Frank Toskin was one of the backers. And for those of you who don't know, Frank Toskin was the creator of MAC. Frank Toskin, Frank Angelo. I'm an OG MAC girl. I started working for MAC in 92. And Vic Casale was the cosmetic chemist. So when I found out that Mob Beauty was trying to grow this Mob community, they invited a handful of us to be on a Zoom. This was in the nascent stages. There was no product yet. And we all got on a Zoom, and it was like, you know, big names. And I'm like, what am I doing here? And it was great. And I was very supportive of the product. They sent us all like our own little, you know, palette, and it's clean beauty and vegan. And I just started developing a relationship with them, commenting, sharing their posts. And one day, Alicia, who's the creative director, called me up and said, look, we're going to start bringing in creators who support us and love us to collab and create a lipstick of their choice. And then it led to the hyaluronic highlight balm, which I have on my face. We always say it looks like you just had a facial. And then recently they said, do you want to come into the lab and develop some fun products? And we had a blast. So that's just, I mean, they're clearly like, I have them on speed dial. We text all the time. They've become my family. They're not just a brand. So it really has to be something that comes from a deep love of the brand and product, and they'll recognize you in time.
Yeah. And what I really want people to hear here is that Michelle did not just promote the products. She literally showed the brand love as part of their community, right? She commented, she reshared their posts. I'm sure when she got PR, she posted it in some way to support them, likely was asking them, and this is something I've come back to a lot recently, how can I help you as a brand? I have a platform, whether that's small or large, whatever stage you're at. What can I do to help you in the next stage of your development, right? Not showing up asking for something from the get-go, but showing up asking, how can you support the brand? And then moving that organically over time to now look where she is. And I think it's also a very beautiful brand example, because this is not a massive brand. Now it's gaining a ton of traction. We start to see them more. This isn't like I'm showing up at Milk potentially, or, you know, some of our other brands that say beauty, very large, lots of money. It's going to take a lot more time, right? I think knowing where a brand is in their business cycle is a huge portion of understanding how to be an effective creator. So all the pieces were definitely put together right here. You had a back connection with the brand, then you started very organically from the very get-go, and you continue to support them, not asking for anything in return. And then here you are.
Amazing. It's so exciting. It's so exciting to work in a lab too. I just geek out on science and ingredients. And so it's really been a fun creative process. I would say also with small brands, if you post and tag them, they will reach out and say, can we use this? You know, because they don't have the budget to pay anyone. Like even Polite Society, I bought Polite Society on day one a year ago when it launched. And months later, they said, oh my gosh, can we use your video? And I'm like, sure, this time you can. But for future campaigns, I would appreciate you coming to me for a campaign since I'm giving mm-hmm. you my content of for course. Free. That hasn't happened yet. They're still small and growing, but that's how you start to forge those relationships.
Yep. I also have a 1 to 2 times say yes rule if it's a brand that you're really invested in. Now, if it's somebody that you don't really care so much about and you are fine with the relationship not going anywhere and you want to ask for money right off the bat, that's your prerogative. But I always find that if you're posting organically and a brand comes to you asking to reuse organically, not in paid, I think a yes once or twice with a, hey, I'd like to be on the PR list. Hey, I'd like an invite to the next event. Hey, I'd like to get a coffee meeting, right? Use that moment to leverage strategically to move the relationship forward. Not just yes, period, but yes, and I'd like X, Y, and Z. Or in the future, I would love for you to know that my rate is this amount for these posts, and hopefully we can build towards that together, right? So that's a beautiful conversation and relationship to be having. Really, really amazing stuff. I'd love to shift to the conversation around how many creators are now in the over 40 space. I feel like even since when we last spoke, which was not that long ago, to now, huge amount of growth, I think, in this age demographic. What are you seeing in terms of, I'm going to use the word competition, but I don't truly believe in competition, but in, you know, like-minded creators in your space?
Yeah, I get really excited when I see women over, I'm going to say 45, because for me, that's when the face really starts shifting and the skin starts changing. You start getting more laxity. Early 40s, you're still kind of cute. I mean, everyone's cute, but like to me, early 40s, I'm like, okay. Or, you know, I see brands, or like Tarte specifically, I'll see a brand take a young girl who's 42. I say young girl because 42 is young to me, but she has a little silver in her hair and they're like, perfect, mature. You know, and I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. But I'm a huge cheerleader. I'm a real fan of women. And so I'm always going to cheer. I saw a new gal last night. I don't remember her name, but she's a pro makeup artist and she's over 45. And she was doing a really beautiful tutorial on how just to adjust certain things on your face to look more youthful. And I went in and I liked it. And I said, gorgeous. And I mean, I'm always trying to support women over 45. I rarely comment on young people. I really try to devote all of my time and attention to women over 40.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that either, right? We need to spend our time online strategically, or else we're just going down a rabbit hole and you only have so much time to mindfully comment, right? We have our times where we're not being mindful, we're scrolling, we just want to binge, we're looking at puppies, all the good stuff. But if you're going to be mindful about growing your community, that means commenting and engaging on accounts that feel like the right fit for you and the community that you're trying to build. And I think one of the great things about you, and one thing other people can learn from you, is that you're very focused on what type of person you're trying to speak to. And that shows. And I've spoken to a lot of creators recently who are in that over 40, over 50 range, and they still say, oh, but I still want to be open to attracting people over 30. And I'm inching up on 40 soon-ish, 38, and I even am reciting back to them what I keep hearing from you and other creators. 45 to 55 is completely different than under 45. And if you want to be specific, you need to be saying, as someone who is over 45 or as someone who is 40, what is the terminology you would give for someone who's under 45, but above 35? Like, what is that gray zone called?
I call that the transition stage. That's like menopause puberty. That's like you're going over the rainbow bridge. Like, I don't know. It's like very much a transition. Listen, I remember being 36 and I remember all of a sudden seeing sunspots pop mm-hmm. up on the side. And I was like, what is this? And then I mm-hmm. remember specifically being 38 and wearing Laura Mercier foundation, which is so beautiful. And suddenly it was dry and cakey all through here. I remember those moments. I remember the first time I saw a jowl. I was in my mid 40s, maybe around 46, 47. Mm-hmm. So I really think that that's a transitioning stage. And when I do see gals your age, late 30s, talk about mature skin, it is mature to you compared to 30. Mm-hmm. It is mature to you. So true. I don't poo-poo that, and I don't like put you down like, oh, you just wait. Because you are maturing. And so you do have things to address as well. It's definitely the transition stage, but really you're going to see a big shift around 45, 46. The face really starts to change. But I always say, you know, even on YouTube, I'm like, you know, my Mature Makeup Masterclass is really designed for women over 40. But if you're under 40 and you just want to have some beautiful skin techniques, anyone can take my masterclass. Or sometimes I'll say, okay, this is a tip over 40. If you're under 40, you know, scram, get out of here. You know, I'm funny about it, but yeah, it's all maturing every day. So we're all in the same boat.
It's true. We're just on different points on the river, if you will. I wish there was a more technological term, because I do see a lot of creators, especially in the TikTok space, in their early 40s, and they use mature skin. And I understand why, because, you know, they're not necessarily feeling rooted in the millennial experience or younger. So they don't feel like they're of that era, but they're not over 45, which I think is more of the, I'm not going to say clinical, but technical definition of mature skin is over 45. So they're in a little bit of a gray zone. And honestly, I think that could, I don't want to say hurt them, but it could be part of the reason why it's more difficult to grow in that no man's land, if you will, because everyone is at different stages in their skin at that point. And we're not quite all speaking to the same issues yet.
Yeah. And when I see gals in their early 40s talk about mature skin, I equate that to when I at 56 talk about mature skin, and I have a lot of 70-year-olds on YouTube, and I service a lot of 70-year-olds, and I imagine them thinking, oh, Michelle, you're just so young still, you know, wait till you're 71. So it's all relative, right?
That's so true. I would love to know, what are women in their 70s chatting about on YouTube? Give me the experience. What are they saying?
Oh my gosh, I could cry at how much I love women over like 65, because we have to sit at their feet and be like, pour into us. You know, like you're going to gain so much confidence when you turn 40, Sonia. You're not going to believe your 40s are phenomenal. The 50s are even better internally. Externally, we're all melting like wax, but internally, you're going to love being in your 50s. The women of like 65, 70 range, and I even have some customers in their 80s. What they will tell you is they've just accepted aging at this point. They've tried everything out there. Nothing works except plastic surgery, which is why I got a lower facelift. Everyone's trying to bombard you with all these like microneedling and Morpheus and Thermage and, you know, Halo. None of it works. It works for young women. It does not work at our age. And women are throwing thousands of dollars away when they should be just getting surgery or aging gracefully like Paulina Porizkova. So the older gals are there to root everyone on and say, this is true. It's surgery or just aging gracefully. And we're here to tell you it's really great at 70. And so they're encouraging us. They're paving the way. And I love them for that. But they still want to look cute. They still want to put their face on and go out and look cute. Who doesn't?
Yeah. Love that. I love the experience. I'm going to have to come troll all of your comments and like find some 70-year-old besties.
Yeah.
I need a new era of golden girls.
It's so important in life to have a mentor. And I don't just mean business. I mean, have a mentor in life who you can sit at their feet and they can tell you, this will pass, you know, the toddler years, this will pass. The preschool years, this will pass. The teenage years, this will pass. You need that wisdom in your life to know that you're normal, what you're going through is normal, and we're going to get on the other side and life is just going to be great.
I love that. Oh, see the internet bringing besties together. Wonderful. okay, so a few final things I want to talk about. In the last, we'll give it 6 months to a year, what do you think are the most important things that you've done for yourself, whether that be business-wise or personal growth or a piece of equipment that have helped move your journey forward, do you think?
Ooh, I have a few things. Okay, number one, moving to Nashville was one of the best things I've ever done. It was spur of the moment. We had not planned it, but I'm a spontaneous person. We love it here, and I think the energy of the city and my family's happy, and I think that that just feeds my soul, so we love that. So that was a location change. I had to... And I think when I was talking to you in October, I was still really frustrated that TikTok, the place that grew me, was, you know, ignoring me. And I had to come to a place of acceptance, and you kind of just have to release it. And just like I practice what I preach, just show up every day and do what you do. And you have to have a servant's heart. Why am I here? I'm not here for the Michelle show. I'm here to serve middle-aged women and help them feel and look cute close up. So that was a mind shift. And then as far as tools, I'm going to show you this freaking Ilio smear. Have you seen this?
Oh, that looks so cool.
It's a gorgeous ring light. Okay. But here's the best part. This is the best magnification mirror I've ever had in my life. It shows everything on your face that you didn't even know you had. And all the women who are coming back who bought this, they're like, I don't know if I hate you or love you because I can see everything on my face. And I'm like, you you need to, okay?
You need to know what you're dealing with.
We can't live in denial. We have to see every thing on the face. But that is the one tool that elevated my game. I love that mirror. I love that ring light. And it's designed for all women. It's designed for the woman at home who doesn't have a job. It's designed for the content creator of all ages. It is a phenomenal system.
Wow. Okay. I love it. What an amazing tool. I love when people find stuff like that. It's wonderful. Anything to make content creation easier, right? Like just
I have another one upstairs on a tripod so I can bring it into my bathroom when I shoot more skincare and stuff. Yeah.
She's like, there's one in every room. Wonderful. Okay. And just to round us out, what is like your biggest goal for this year? What are you really aiming towards manifesting? Whatever your, you know, what is your focus right now for this year?
Yeah. My short-term goal is to hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, and I'm at 95.5, and it's taken years. It's taken years, but I'm so close. And I think I'm most proud of that because people have to subscribe. It's not just follow. They have to subscribe to your channel. And we're such a tight community. And once I hit 100,000, I get that plaque, which I can put, you know, back on the wall. I'm so really exciting. Proud of my YouTube growth. And I attribute that all to my followers, not to me. I'm back with my agency. I was on a hiatus. And so I'm really looking forward to some really great campaigns this year. And then I'm going to just keep at TikTok and see where it takes me. But even my agency is saying that brands are really starting to look back more at Instagram than TikTok. They're not seeing the return on investment on TikTok like they do on Instagram. So I have to really get more of a game plan for Instagram and TikTok.
Love it. Amazing. Okay. And then your final words of wisdom for any beauty creators who look up to you, who are on this journey with you, what would you like to say to them?
I would like to say, this is something I got into at the end of the year also, is I found myself comparing myself, and that's not who I am. I'm a 30-year pro. I'm very confident in my skills. I've been doing social media a really long time, and yet I found myself comparing myself and getting down on myself. And I'm almost glad I went through that because I think it showed me what other people go through on the daily, because I've never played the comparison game until very recently. And so I would say, stop comparing. And if you have to unfollow people that make you feel less than or give you the ick, unfollow them. And, you know, really start to change your algorithm. It's hard being in beauty because most of my daughter says, your algorithm's so boring. It's all beauty. So really try to shift up your algorithm and really try to find that content out there that inspires you and isn't just about beauty, because when we get so beauty minded, it can get really depressing. Like life is so much more than this vanity. It's all going to fade.
True. I love that. I think it's also really great practice to always have a secondary spam account, secret account that you can go and just like be doing anything on. You don't have to post, but just live the fun life and not care. And the best inspiration does come from accounts that do not have to do with yours. I really get so much joy out of watching other things, and that then sparks ideas. So great advice as always. I always love having a chit chat with you. Thank you so much, Michelle. We'll tag in the show notes where to find Michelle. We will definitely link her new palette with Mob Beauty as long as it's out when this airs.
April.
Okay, perfect. So we will hold this till April 100% so that she can direct people to that palette, because I'm sure it's going to be incredible. And please subscribe to her YouTube channel so that she can hit that 100K. And we are all cheering you on. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you, Sonia. It was great. I hope this helps some young people out there.
But I'm sure it will. Thank you so much, as always, for listening to Lip Service, the podcast with me, Sonia Elise. If you just can't get enough of me or this podcast, which I know is the case, please follow me on Instagram and TikTok at sonia.elise. That's SONIA.ELYSS. In addition, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review this podcast and just let me know what you think. As a thank you for being a listener, I will be selecting a monthly winner to receive a free one-on-one session with me. All you have to do to enter is screenshot the podcast and share it on your Instagram stories, tagging myself as well as at Lip Service World. If listening to this podcast has inspired you to invest in your journey as a beauty creator, don't forget that you can get my eyes on your account with a custom profile audit. It's $35, the same as a Stanley Cup, but it adds way more value to your life. Don't forget that sharing your life online can spark joy, so just hit post. Catch you on the next episode.